without looking. What is the seal? What is the seal? Yesterday's scriptures, we learned that there was a seal. It is a two-sided seal. We always want to remember. I didn't call it a seal. Tony didn't. Emil didn't. Here in 19, the foundation of God, the genuine foundation of God, standeth sure, and it has a seal. We want to remember that. God called it that for a reason. He wants this to stay in our mind. The one side of this seal, we learned yesterday, was an indication of the weakness that has come in publicly, but of encouragement for you and I, that the Lord knows them that are His. Now, the great difficulty is that I may not know them. I might think someone is an unbeliever, and they are a believer. And I will treat people according to how I think you will too. The other side is that I might think someone is a believer, and they are an unbeliever. So the day of confusion that we're living in is a day when we take great comfort in knowing that the Lord knows them that are His. But what about the second part? Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord. That is profession. We want to see that. That is profession in this world. Everyone that nameth the name of the Lord has, in this second part, a responsibility before God to do something. It isn't an option, but it is an absolute command of the Lord. And I don't want to treat it as optional. I am, you are, they are, to do one thing where there is that which is dishonoring to the Lord. It is not a matter of whether you think you could be a help there. I am to depart from iniquity. Now, I say this, and I will try to be short here for Emil. There are great systems of men all around us today. Why am I going to that little meeting in Bluefield? Why do we gather there? What is there that is unique? Are there not Christians down the road in the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church? Am I more saved than they are? No. If they belong to the Lord, they're saved. But young people, I have a question to ask you. And I know there are some in this room that go various places. Is there liberty of the Spirit to use the gifts that He has given unto men in that place? You see, now it separates the people from the system that is out there. There is a great system that is out there that tells people when to sit, when to stand, when to sing, when to be quiet, what to do, what not to do. And there are many saved people in those systems. They have brought many things from Judaism into the New Testament Christianity as far as they're concerned. They have one man that is looked at as a leader in many of these places. Now, I want you to realize I'm not better and you're not better than any of those people. If they belong to Christ, they're saved. They're in a special place in heaven for us. We want to see that. But if there is that, and that is how the movement of the brethren, and I use that with a little B. I got a brother going to sleep in front of me there. Yeah, hang with us. Get you some water. Okay. There is a system of things where the Spirit of God has been displaced. He's been set aside in a very practical way. Now, what am I to do about that? How am I to react to such a system? I think these verses give you scriptural ground as to the pathway that is to be set before us. Now, I leave others to speak then. Some younger brother, tell me what it means to depart. Help Tony and John and Emil and I, help us to understand. What does it mean? Does anybody know?
If depart means to come together, and to depart means to come apart, completely. If depart, to part means to come together, then to depart would mean to just completely separate from or come apart from.
Is it an attitude? Is it something you do, or is it something you just think about?
Should be an attitude. It should be a way of life.
So it's something we think, and it's something we
do.
Maybe just one verse we can read regarding this. It's in Psalm 34, where we see these two aspects, that it starts first personally, and then also in action. And it's Psalm 34, verse 13. It's basically the one definition of the fear of the Lord. David says, "Come, I will teach you the fear of the Lord," in verse 11. And then we see in 13 is, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking ill." That's personally what you have to do. But then also, "Depart from evil." And I think we saw that also, not just depart from evil, but then do good, do something. Not just going away, but have an object.
I have a question about something you said.
Yeah.
Are you equating systems of man, even though they be good, seemingly good systems, with iniquity?